Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Shaq, don't check.
Shut the hell up, Chuck.
Hey, Shaq, don't even open that up.
No, let's listen to the announcement.
The 2024 Rookie of the Year goes to Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs.
Well done.
A dark horse candidate, Joe. Did you have Wembanyama?
I mean, yeah. Long shot.
Yep.
As they say.
The announcement yesterday that Victor Wembanyama, well, that's Shaq's announcement at least. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It is gorgeous outside. Hold on, let me check the temperature. 50.
Did it crack 50? Is there going to be frost on my windshield still when I go outside?
Mike and Amy Lesikowski joining us here talking 11-day power play. We all had the conversation when we got here. We wore shorts because we know it's going to be 75.
Uh-huh.
But when we left the house at, you know, 4 whatever.
I needed my heating seats.
It was 44 degrees. Freezing.
Scraping the windshield.
How is it out there? Is it all right?
Beautiful.
Oh, all right, good. Ready for some nice days.
Golf weather.
Well, good to see you two. How are things?
Oh, they're great.
Going well, thank you.
11-day power play coming up. Of course, like you guys get started next month. So let's talk about this year and how things are going as you sit a little more than a month out.
It's going great. Amy's got things well organized, well-oiled machine as usual. We've got kind of a record this year in terms of participants. We've got over 2,500 players registered, which is the most we've ever had, which is amazing, which means that, you know, translates likely to more fundraising. So in that regard, it's going great, and we're really looking forward to June 20th for puck drop and opening ceremony.
Opening ceremony, puck drop, June 20th. When you say more than ever, have you opened it up to more? Is that the reason? Is it just more interest?
More interest. You know, a couple of years ago, when we originally started the community shift, we had 24/7, and then a couple of years ago, we took the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift out because the ice needed a little bit of time to heal and stuff like that. And then this year, we had a huge waiting list, so Amy reached out to a few of the teams and asked if they'd be willing to play the 3 a.m. shift, and lo and behold, they were interested. So we opened up a bunch of those 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. shifts, which is not exactly ideal time to play hockey, but nonetheless, they were super excited to participate and join, and the more the merrier as far as we're concerned.
Amy, what were those phone calls like? Were those people like really excited? And also to hear that they didn't have to play at 3 a.m.?
It was quite a surprise to me because when we would release the schedule previously, when that was part of the shift opportunities, the teams that would earn them would be not real thrilled. Actually reach out and hear them say, oh my gosh, we're in, like no hesitation, really means that the community continues to rally and support the event, the cause, and we're just so grateful.
There was also a couple of crazies that said, I want a 3 a.m. shift.
They wanted the 3 a.m. shift?
Yeah, just to say that they did.
Yeah. In terms of the sheer number of skaters, like how that's grown really from at least the start when the community shift kind of began?
Yeah. So I think the first year we had 1,200 skaters, and we didn't know what the heck we were doing the first community shift. We were just kind of winging it. Yeah. And then we got a little bit more organized, and it caught on, as did the, you know, the first event. So that's grown to about double. You know, we've had over 2,000 the last couple of years. This year about 2,500. So we've doubled our participants over the 8 years that we've been in existence, which is pretty cool.
Thursday, June 20th through Sunday, June 30th at Lecom Harbor Center. Goals to raise $1.5 million for cancer research, the 11-day power play of the 2024 edition. You know, you mentioned the doubling of the numbers. How much of that is growing in terms of people knowing what this is, not just locally, but around the country? Like, where are all these teams coming from?
You know, it's primarily Buffalo, but, you know, Rochester is a significant amount of teams from Rochester, which is really great. But we have teams from all over the East Coast, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina,
Maryland,
California. We even had a player that, I don't know if he's back this year, but from Tokyo, Japan.
Wow.
So people know about it. I have a lot of people that say they wear the 11-day merchandise on trips out of town, and they're always surprised that somebody questions and says, hey, where'd you get that? We know the 11-day. So it's really grown. It's exciting.
Any marquee skaters again this year? I know Dennis Gilbert, right, a couple of years ago Flames?
Yeah, Dennis did a really good job. He was really into it. He called us last year and said, hey, I want to do a team. Did a really good job. They raised a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They were really into it. And they're going to do it again this year. You know, he's got a bunch of pro players that and a lot of folks from, you know, just growing up around here. Mm-hmm. So that's great. It's going to be the return of the wonderful Al Davis this year on the GR shift. That'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, we do the alumni / celebrity game at the end of it. So that's always a hodgepodge of characters and former Sabres, which is a lot of fun. So and our daughter Julia's coming out of retirement too.
Yeah, she is.
You got Joe and Josh on the GR team as well, right?
Oh, is that a thing?
Yep, and we're going to be on the team. Alan's going to be back on the blue line, I'm guessing.
Have to
throw him some one-timers at the point.
Is he a stay-at-home defenseman, Alan Davis?
He should stay at home.
Yes.
So it's the WGR against the Western New York All-Stars. Who's on that team? What do we got in local media?
I don't know actually who's on the Western New York All-Stars this year. It's always a rotating.
Yeah, there's a handful of them.
Yeah.
Jim Fink and a bunch of other guys that have been playing together for 100 years.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
They're going to add some ringers this year. You just show up and it's going to be Tage on the team against you, Joe.
On the Western. Man, I hope not. It's media All-Stars. We need like Nick Wright out there so that we can get him coming across the middle or something.
Yeah.
They'll recruit my son, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So things are opening ceremonies June 20th. You guys are back at Harbor Center. You've, you know, bounced around different locations. Harbor Center, I'd imagine, where things got started the very, very first year.
It's such a great venue.
Yeah.
It really is. You got the hotel right next door. A lot of our teams stay over, you know, overnight if they're coming in from out of town. It's just beautiful to be able to utilize that space, and you've got the waterfront right there. So we encourage everyone to stop in, you know, during the summer, cool off, come into the rink. If you're out at the waterfront, it's always free to enter, and we have wonderful merchandise available as always. And that's another way that you can support the event as well.
How are you guys doing with, like, if someone wanted to support or participate that didn't want to, wasn't on a team, how are you guys doing with, like, volunteering and stuff like that?
We always need volunteers, okay. Referees, photographers. You can go to 11daypowerplay.com, and we have a volunteer link there. We're in good shape because we have wonderful volunteers that come back every year and do multiple shifts for us. But if you're interested, there's still spots available. You know, please join us and
we're recruiting hecklers for the GR shift.
Okay.
You know what?
Okay.
I might be able to do that.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take the little extra motivation. Refereeing, by the way, just anyone that basically can play and skate around, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be certified.
Yeah,
anything.
We do. We keep it pretty casual. It's a modified version of pickup hockey.
Yep.
But it's good to have, you know, at least a ref out there to drop the puck and things like that.
Drop the puck and make sure nobody gets a little, you know, too intense, which, listen, it's hockey. It happens.
Oh, it happens.
Enough hours of people on the ice. I feel like it's bound at least once or twice.
Yeah, it is hockey, and unfortunately, that, you know, sometimes you get a little emotional,
yeah.
But that's okay. We handle it.
Well, over $10 million has been raised for cancer research since the first 40 skater world record event in 2017, and the goal this year is $1.5 million to add on top.
We always aim for $1 million, and we're always fortunate to surpass that. So we're hoping for 1.7 this year because we've hit 1.65 in the past. So let's do this, Buffalo.
Do we mention our beneficiaries?
So, of course, Roswell Park, Cancer Research right in our backyard, Make-A-Wish, Camp Good Days, the Oshai Children's Hospital collaboration with Roswell is always important for us to support, keep our kids here locally during treatment. And we're just clearly not stopping. You know, we're going to continue to support those beneficiaries. We did add a new beneficiary this year, the PD Fund. That is an opportunity for smaller organizations that do amazing work in the fight against cancer to apply. We will be announcing the winner of that at opening ceremony, June 20th at Harbor Center. Come on down and also cheer on the 60 top fundraisers who are playing. Dan Dunleavy will be doing play-by-play. Alan Davis will also be part of that. Lots of fun indoor fireworks and arts and crafts for kids, and a family skate on rink, too. So come on down.
Amy Lizakowski, Mike Lizakowski here on the 11-Day Power Play. You know, one thing we can speak to maybe a little better than we ever could before, we toured Roswell. We saw the 11-Day Power Play Cell Therapy Center. Like if you've known about this event for the last 7 years or however many versions of it, you know it raises money. But there are places inside the Roswell campus that are, hey, this is here because of the 11-day power
and
play.
And people that are there because of the 11-day power play.
Yeah, it's amazing. This year we really put an emphasis on why we do what we do. And we've had lots of players. Amy organized some tours at Roswell. And they weren't just walking around. This is with Dr. Brengens. Like, Dr. Brengens is the deputy director of Roswell. He is the cell therapy. He is the person doing his team doing the primary research, saving lives, ahead of that cell therapy lab. We had breakfast with a bunch of our fundraisers with Candace Johnson just last week. Like, we're really emphasizing why we're doing what we're doing and showing that the money goes to places that really matters, is significant, is saving lives, and that's very important to us, that we're not just playing a hockey game.
How about, you know, the people that have benefited directly treatment at Roswell? Do you guys hear their stories? Some of the good stories, the good stories that come out of this, that, you know, without your help, without the event that you've put on, it might be a different outcome for a lot of people. And that's, of course, people that don't even really know that this is something that helps them along the way.
Yeah, it's amazing how far we've come. My treatment in 2009 is so different now because of the support our community gives to Roswell. Immunotherapy is our primary concern. We want to make sure that, you know, patients have a less harsh treatment with chemotherapy and with immunotherapy. That's what's happening, and it's really incredible. And the 11-Day Power Play Resource Center at Roswell, we have patients that reach out to us all the time saying, oh my gosh, just to walk in there, get the support I needed for my children, for my husband or my coworker, and see the incredible support that's being given to these patients, giving them hope, letting them know that our community cares about them through the 11-Day Power Play. It's pretty amazing.
Opening ceremonies on June 20th?
Yes, 6 to 9, June 20th. Come on down, join us, be a part of it. We're always looking for people to hold up signs and cheer on our players.
Chuck and Puck.
They work really hard all year fundraising and then earning a spot for the top 60. They get their own jersey with their name and number that they get to choose, which we never, ever do. So
they're not all number 11.
Yes. Yep. So join us.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, you know, when it comes to the amount of work, I mean, obviously if you're skating for 11 days straight back, that's a lot of work for skaters. But in terms of, you know, the prep for the community shift, it's more people means a lot more work, a lot more intensive process, and maybe a lot more need for volunteers.
Well, that's the amazing thing about the 11-day is we are so small. I mean, we have not increased our staff since we started. We've increased our volunteer numbers. So when you think about that, you know, more than 300 people that volunteer for us, they truly put the event on with our guidance. So that's pretty amazing, and that's Buffalo.
11daypowerplay.com. Before you leave, the NHL draft lottery is tonight. You've seen Macklin Celebrini firsthand. Yeah. So we got to get the scouting report on Macklin Celebrini. Your son has played against him head-to-head, both on the USHL and collegiate level now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the Sabres win the lottery, are we feeling good about Macklin Celebrini?
Oh, man, that kid's awesome. He's a forward. My son's a defenseman. So, like, luckily there's not a lot of highlight reels with Macklin Celebrini and my son in them because, he makes defensemen look silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for the last 2 years, he's got to play against him probably a dozen times. So we've got to see him, you know, like his progression as a 16- and 17-year-old just tearing it up. He's a really special player.
And every once in a while you'll send me a picture of, like, here he is on the ice with you know, the NHL's a presumptive number one pick.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. Which in itself has got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun. College hockey is amazing. We got to follow it. I heard you talking about Zeev Bayham this past year. Like Denver was awesome to watch. Zeev's a really good player. He's got another brother, Shea. And like all those top 10 or 12, a handful of them are WHL, OHL, but a lot of them are also collegiate USHL players. So we've got to see them firsthand over the last few years. So it's really interesting to see how they have progressed and are going to be drafted into the NHL. So it's pretty cool.
You know, as someone who's – I've been fortunate enough to visit a lot of the college hockey arenas in the Northeast, and I'd put Maine right at the top. I mean, Maine is an incredible arena. Of all – you know, hockey players like to call their arenas barns.
Mm-hmm.
Maine's a barn.
It's a barn.
It is a barn.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
The Alphonse is special.
The Alphonse really is special. 5,000 people. They pack them in. The student section is directly over the opposing goalie.
Yep.
It's just really fun.
Oh, man,
really
the
fun.
Ceiling, too. I've never seen the
it looks like a barn
before. Yeah. It really does,
it's,
yeah.
It's really amazing.
It's been fun. It's been a really fun ride. So we're fortunate that our son's put in the hard work to get there. And hopefully there's a couple more years of that.
Well, very good. And you guys, of course, are putting in hard work for the 11-Day Power Play. 11daypowerplay.com. You can go there. You can learn more about making a donation or volunteering. The team schedule, is that already up at this point? We know the team schedule? Okay, so teams know if they're when they're going to play and no 3 to 6 a.m. shift, which, you know, sure.
Some like it. Some
do. Some do.
Yeah.
Some do. I mean, hey, we get up really early, so, you know, you get a lot of stuff done that time of day. Mike Lesikowski, Amy Lesikowski, thank you so much for coming in, and, you know, best of luck, as always, of reaching those goals that you guys so frequently do reach.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming. 11daypowerplay.com is the website for any information you might want to need. Again, opening ceremonies will be the 20th and running through for the next 10 days after that, the 20th to the 30th for the 11-Day Power Play this year, the community shift. My family plays every year.
Yeah.
My father-in-law, my brother-in-law, yeah.
You got to get out there.
I know, but I know. I hear about it every year. I know.
When's the last time you skated?
I don't even want to know.
Just get out there. Go run some ice. Get you going.
Alan, our program director, he gave me his retirement.
You the retirement?
From me, from hockey, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's been, when's the last time I skated? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. Too long.
We should get you back out there. Let's get you back out there. Alan's out there doing it.
The one funny thing, though, you know, I didn't grow up playing hockey. I started playing pickup just in college a little bit, and then around here. This morning shift was one of the reasons I stopped playing pickup when I did, because what time do you play pickup hockey, Joe?
I mean,
10 p.m.?
I played
11 p.m.
This Sunday, and they tell you 8:30 game, and of course, you don't really actually get going till like 8:50.
And what time's the game end?
And I'm probably home at like 11.
And what time are you able to sleep? 1?
Oh, that's the other thing. Well, luckily the Brady roast was that night, so that gave me something to watch. But no, your adrenaline is pumping.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not sleeping until midnight.
Yeah, I mean, I was
and I'm waking up at 4:45 in the morning.
Right. I was never any sort of player, but when I did, like, oh, this is fun. What time is our game tonight? 10:30. See you later.
Yeah.
I've been getting up at 4 a.m. for 20 years. Like,
yep.
I just can't do that. So that's not an excuse not to be in the, you know, the community shift. Although that 3 a.m., maybe like before the show, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., I could have done that, and then, yeah. Anyway. All right, we'll get a break in. Thanks again to Mike Lesikowski, Amy Lesikowski, the 11-Day Power Play. Over $10 million raised so far and gunning for 1.7. So, you know, lofty goals, but hey, we'll shoot for them. We'll be back, Jeremy and Joe, just a minute here on WGR.
What about Christmas at the stadium?
Christmas.
Opening presents at the tailgate?
I can't tell you.
Bring your own tree?
The absolute worst is 1 o'clock Christmas Day.
1 o'clock Christmas.
But again, the tailgate would be sweet, though.
Yeah, the tailgate is your opening presents at the tailgate.
I would not go to that game. We better not get Christmas. Whenever the schedule comes out. When will the NFL tell us when it is going to come out? We're just like operating.
I know.
Like,
we don't even know when. Like, can we get that leaked?
Right. It's almost like everyone's like, it's going to be Thursday. And the league hasn't said a thing other than May.
May, which there are 24 days left of, or 23 days left of.
All right. Somewhere in the next 24 days, the schedule comes out.
You would think tomorrow they would want to release. If Thursday is going to be the full schedule, tomorrow, aren't they going to want to be like, hey, good morning, America, at 8 a.m., tune in to find out what the NFL opener is going to be or what the first Monday night game is going to be, right? They've done that in the past.
Yeah.
Buck and Aikman would go on Good Morning America and announce the Monday night opener would be.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And that would happen like the day before.
Yeah. Right?
Or maybe was it the morning of? I thought it usually was the day before, which that would be tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I feel like if it's going to be Thursday, if it's going to be Thursday, we need some action today. Probably need to find out today that it's going to be Thursday. I mean, how much can there be left to do in the final 2 days anyway? Like, is it that much of a cram session where you're figuring it must be, right?
I think so.
Is it because do they wait until after the draft to build the schedule? Like, why? I mean, the season ended 3 months ago. There's a lot to it. And Mike Noor talked about it on Sal's podcast, too. There is so much into it. There's stadium stuff. There's concert scheduling. There's, you know, everything goes into it.
Balance the schedule.
Yeah.
Not too many road games in a row.
Yeah. It's a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to get to. And as soon as we do it, Howard's going to pick the Bills.
Oh, that's right.
So don't forget that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's going to pick them to go 10-7, is my guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
They've got some tough games.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe with you here. I learned a little thing about the Bills that, I'm just gonna put this out there, right? So I saw yesterday that projecting the compensatory picks. Have you seen this? This is how
yes.
You...
Yeah.
Listen, let's all admit something. When it comes to talking about football and sports, whatever, we're all kind of sick. Here I am telling you about the projected compensatory picks in the 2025 draft.
Yeah. Yep. At the end of these rounds, by the way.
It is May 7th.
It's 11 months away. In 11 months, they will have a pick at the end of the blank round.
So,
yeah.
One thing I saw, a projection was the Bills will be getting a fourth and a fifth.
Okay.
That's where the projections stand. They get a fourth for Gabe Davis.
Yep.
And a fifth for Leonard Floyd.
Okay.
So, with that in mind, the Bills will have a first, 2 seconds, a third, 3 fourths, 2/5, 2/6, and a 7th.
That's like right now if right those now, compensatory picks go
through.
If
they get the 4th and the 5th compensatory, that's what they get. That is a ton of... It's 13 picks.
That's insane.
13. They just had 10.
Right.
And they didn't trade up. They used them all. A 1st, 2 seconds, a 3rd. I think it's 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
2/5, 2/6, and a 7th. And Joe, that can only mean one thing. We're back! We're back!
We will be back.
All right, I'm sorry. But actually, what I wanted to do was...
Well, is it the receiver train, or is it they're going to trade one of those picks at the trade deadline?
You know, I'm upset you said that, because it sounds like you won't take my bet. I want to put on the bet board on May 7th, Brandon Bean is trading up at next year's draft.
Oh, trading up in next year's draft.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
He's in the first round. He's trading up.
See, I think it's more likely they would take one of those 4ths, one of those 5ths, and insert receiver name that we're talking about in November or in October, and they're going to trade for one at the deadline.
Well, the deadline is a real possibility. That many picks.
Because especially if they're good, like they should be at least good, and their receiving room, the way it works out is what a lot of us are worried about, which is... not that great. Shakir, Samuel, Coleman. All right. Like, they're not getting what they want out of it. And it's clear that they're not getting what they want out of it. And it's week 7. And they're 4-3. And they've got all those picks. Someone's available. And they would, I think, almost certainly be in that ballgame.
Sure.
As much as anybody else would.
I think that's possible.
Like, the Titans stink, and now they're going to trade DeAndre Hopkins at the deadline with 1 year left in his contract.
Right.
Like, aren't the Bills in that ballgame?
Well, there are a lot of conversations that come off of the idea that they could have 13 picks. They had 10 last year. Let's say they take all 13. That is 23 draft picks.
It's half your team.
That is a team in transition.
Yeah.
But I would bet you right now they trade up next year. I don't even know I can't name the players or the board. I don't know where they're picking. I don't care. You know what, Brandon Bean? He traded down and did the responsible thing, and then he went and he sat in his office for 3 hours by himself and consoled himself that he didn't trade up, because he loves to trade up too much, that he finally traded down and he got everybody off his back, and he can't wait to trade up. He's going to trade up.
Why didn't he do it this year then?
Because he had to prove to... No, because they couldn't get up there.
It's the same theory, though, right? Like, they had a million picks, and there were receivers in this draft.
Because they didn't want to pay the price. That's the case in every trade, not trading up scenario. But I think the Bills, they don't trade up when they think the price isn't right. They don't think trading up is a bad idea. They won't do it if it's too expensive. And there are some... Listen,
but man, it's expensive.
The entire NFL community of draft pundits will tell you trading up is always bad. Doesn't matter the price, it's always bad, which I don't agree with. It can't always be bad. There have to be some scenarios where it's a good idea. But okay, he didn't do it. He's going to want to do it. And with all these picks, you know, you mentioned the deadline. I mean, I don't even need to talk about receiver at the deadline. Last year at the deadline, they traded for the number one corner on the team.
Right. Yeah.
And all it cost them was sliding from the 3rd to the 5th.
Right.
That's what happened with the Rasul Douglas trade. So the NFL trade deadline has been more active in the last 5, 6, 7 years than it had ever been before that. And here are the Bills with 13 draft picks. If there's somebody out there, if there's a, you know, you could make it about a receiver, you could make it about an offensive lineman, you could
or
make
defensive
it about,
end.
You could make anything. It about a defensive end. Yeah. Right? Like, whoever is going to get moved because his contract's about to be up, the Bills have called and they want to go. I mean, Von Miller got traded at the deadline to the Rams and they won the Super Bowl.
Hey, there was a I got to find where it was, because it's definitely reckless on my part just to mention it. But I saw a rumor yesterday that the Cowboys are, I think the term was wearing thin with Micah Parsons act.
Let's go. Wearing thin with Micah Parsons act. Get him. Oh, please. Please send someone with an act here. I'd be happy to have them.
Yeah, I'll find who said that. A lot of that, though, the receiver part of it, it's going to come down to what Keon Coleman does, right? If he can't play, If he cannot get open and he's not as good in contested catches as we think, and it's just not working, it's Treylon Burks 2.0. A lot of comparisons to that guy.
Which, by the way, he might be on the move soon.
Yeah, he probably is going to be.
Because if they sign Tyler Boyd, then they probably trade Treylon Burks. The comparison there is that...
Wait, did they sign Boyd or did they not?
Not yet.
Okay, but they're also visiting with Zay Jones.
Yes.
So whether one of the two, like they're looking to bring in another receiver, the Titans. And they already have Hopkins and they already have Ridley. So yeah, Burks will probably be available for super cheap. But let's say that Coleman kind of goes that way where there's just not, it's not that impressive. And all of, he's polarizing. All of the people that think this guy can't play the X, like he's going to be a big slot guy. You try to play him in the X, it's not going to go well. That's what happened with Burks in Tennessee. And they do it, and it doesn't work. Where are we in a year? There's a higher level of desperation, and I know fans are not the ones making the decision. It'll be a lot tougher to sell people on, well, we'll just sit and wait till the end of the first round again, and we'll just pick our guy there. Like, you thought the noise about trading up was loud this year. If they had just picked a guy in Keon Coleman and it doesn't work and you're back in the same spot a year later, it will feel like, well, now you've got to do it.
Well, there's no way. Maybe I'll eat these words. There's no way that after 1 year we're saying Keon Coleman didn't work.
It could.
There's just no way. There's no way that, Treylon Burks didn't work. He didn't play with Josh Allen. No matter how you could get a receiver that's not very good or limited, and Josh Allen, we say we'll bring the best out of that player. He gives him the opportunity. Listen,
well, what if he can't earn a spot on the field?
He's gonna get on the field.
Kyrie Elam didn't get on the field.
He's gonna get on the field.
Kyrie Elam got beat out by a 6th round rookie. What happens if Tyrell Shavers beats out Keon Coleman?
He's not going to. That's it. He's not going to.
He probably won't.
There is no way. Keon Coleman doesn't get on the field.
All I'm saying is the same thing happened at corner 2 years ago.
Sure.
Would anyone have said there's any way that their 6th round corner was going to beat out their 1st round and corner in May?
And the corner they took before that was a perennial All-Pro in the first round. There's no reason. I see no reason to make a comparison between Keon Coleman and...
Well, I'm saying is like that Elam showed up to camp and they probably looked at it and said, whoa, what is happening here? He's not getting it. What happens if Coleman shows up to camp and it's just like, uh-oh, not good?
It won't happen. Here's another reason why. One, if it's not working on the outside, they'll put him in the slot.
They've got...
I know they do.
They can't put him in the slot.
Yes, they can.
Because then Shakir's not on the field or Samuel's playing out of position.
They'll play one of them outside or they'll trade for somebody. There's no way that Keon Coleman is already decided to not work 1 year in. Two reasons. One, they can move into the slot. The other reason is one of his really, really good traits is off-script stuff. I bet Keon Coleman has 500 yards of off-script yards this year. Just off-script. Just Allen running around and winging it down to the giant tall guy who's going to jump into the sky. 500. Let's make a bet. Put it on the bet board. 500 sky yards.
500 yes. Sky yards?
Yes.
Air yards, right?
No.
Sky yards.
I want sky yards.
Wait, what's the difference here we're making?
The receiver is leaping for the catch.
Okay. He's jumping in the air.
They're going to play tall ball.
Next-gen stats on that.
He is, forget contested catch. Okay. If it's a battle for a ball, contested catch is a catch-all term for a different, whatever, for a kind of catch. If he's jumping over a corner and cleanly on top of the guy where, you know, those receivers make that trash talk move where they say the corner's small. You're too small.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman's going to do that to a bunch of guys this year. Too small. And it's going to be fine. I don't know that he's going to be great or be blossoming into a number one. I don't have an expectation for that. But he's not bad. He can do certain things.
We don't know, though, right?
He's not great at separating, but some guys have succeeded without separating. Like, I am in between this won't work, which I think it will work, and... Like, listen, I've seen a few maybe overzealous Bills fans just expecting everybody to step into everybody else's role. Like Khalil Shakir is the new Diggs. Like that is not his job.
Right.
That is not what he does. Khalil Shakir is the new Beasley, and he might be a much better Beasley, a Beasley with yards after catch, like
mm-hmm.
jackpot. And I don't know what they have in Curtis Samuel. There's reason to think that might work, but. All this started with an idea about they have 13 picks and what they're going to do.
Right.
But I just think there's any way. They won't let Keon Coleman fail. Josh Allen can't let Keon Coleman fail. Allen didn't pick Kyrie Elam. Allen told them to go get this guy. So,
but Allen doesn't have to be right that he's actually good.
No, but what Allen's going to give him opportunities to a point where they have to keep him on the field.
But that to me could only even, that could emphasize more, it depends, right? Like, Allen could lose faith in him. Allen could lose trust in him very early on. What if he's not catching anything? What if he's Quentin Johnston? Allen's going to keep throwing him the football all season? If we're 6 weeks in and we're going, this guy stinks. They're going to keep throwing him the football for the next 12 weeks while they're trying to win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Then that's insane.
They're a team.
That's
insane. They're a team in transition. I don't know.
I'm just saying there are examples that guys show up right away in the league at receiver and they can't play.
And they don't often play with Josh Allen. The case of Quentin Johnston, he is behind both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler on the depth chart of targets. Keon Coleman is where on the depth chart of targets? Maybe third? He's protected a little bit, just like Quentin Johnston was protected a little bit. In a case where, like Kyer Elam, you needed him to be your number one or number two boundary corner, he couldn't do it. That's a one-on-one matchup all the time, and you got somebody better. In the case of Keon Coleman, I mean,
That's what I mean. Like, what do they say if they look at it, both players, they look at Mac Hollins in training camp or early on in the season and say, like, yeah, we're a team in transition, but what do we do if Mac Hollins looks like he's a better player for us? One, we're in big trouble because we just spent a second-round pick on Keon Coleman. But two, what do we think they do in that spot? I mean, I don't think they're a team that doesn't like to play rookies, but what I think they do in their spot, I think they play Mac Hollins.
Well, I think
I
don't know about stretching this. You're working to find the literal worst case scenario.
But I think that is possible.
Of course, the worst case scenario is possible, as is the best case scenario.
I think he's a receiver with a lot of downside, especially the way they're planning to use him. I think there's a ton. There is no floor. The floor is the bare minimum of nothing for getting a lot out of this player. I just don't think that it has to go well. I think it could go terribly. It could go great. He could be really good. And then in a year, I mean, that's part of this exercise too. In 1 year, if he has 900 yards as a rookie and 8 touchdowns.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Then I don't see the need to trade up for a receiver nearly as much. But if he's Jalen Reagor or Treylon Burks or Quentin Johnston, one of these guys that a lot of people thought had problems coming into the NFL, and those problems came to fruition. If that's Coleman, then I'm going to be just as desperate to see them pick a receiver next year or invest big in it as I would this year.
But every single receiver drafted around there had, finger quotes, problems. Every one of them.
But some of those guys' problems are different than others, right?
The problems are different, but there are problems.
Like the problems Coleman has are often the ones that get you sunk, right? You've got to be so good at contested catch situations if you're not going to be able to get open. And we don't know that also by him. I'm playing out this hypothetical, not knowing if he'll be able to separate in the NFL. But we do know he couldn't do it in college.
Well, if you're playing out worst case scenarios, why don't you just throw something out like, what if Josh gets hurt week one?
But that's
a worst case scenario. Shouldn't we just be
But that's an injury that's just, that's different. Coleman, there is an unknown factor with Coleman.
Sure. Same way there is with Cole Bishop. Same way there is with Xavier Worthy, with A.D. Mitchell. Same way there is with Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, but Coleman is their investment, their big investment at receiver. And right, like that.
Right,
for
that's
Coleman,
right.
It has to work more than it does for Cole Bishop, right? Because it's safety. And you've got other guys that you just brought in on one-year deals that we thought they were fine anyway at safety. If Coleman doesn't work, they're in big trouble. I don't feel that way about any other rookie.
You think they're deeper at safety than receiver? Or they just
I just don't think safety matters as much.
Yeah, well, for this defense, it does. It does for McDermott. It has quite a bit.
But we've seen what it looks like when you're not good enough at receiver. Safety, they've actually not been that good at safety the last 2 years, and they've been still a top 10 defense.
803-0550. Mark, we'll get your call on the other side. Josh is telling us we got to go. We got a break. I'd like to hear what Mark has to say, though. So, Mark, stick with us. Anybody else? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. All this from just telling you the Bills had 13 picks next year.
Yes.
It's supposed to be good news.
Yeah.
Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, we're going to get a call in here, 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe, on a beautiful Tuesday. Get outside, enjoy it, do the best you can, if you can get out there. We chatted with Mike Lisakowski, Amy Lisakowski as well, and you can find that 8 o'clock, latest on the 11-day Power Play. Also expecting Kevin Adams coming up in about 10 minutes. So we'll chat NHL Lottery, which is tonight. Mark in Tonawanda. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, man. Yeah, just to before the break, you guys hit on the wide receiver topic. And I think the pressure's on Brandon Bean even more for this Coleman pick to hit just because he traded with, it's the same, you know, I hate to keep bringing it up, but he traded with the team that knocked us out of the playoffs for, you know, three times. And if he's a stud and Coleman's a bust, it's just tough. And what I'm thinking too is there are at least 20 teams where I'd rather have their receiving core than ours. Shakir had a great six games, no doubt about that. But you gave up your number one wideout, who was a complete stud, despite how you feel about his attitude and what he brought to the locker room. And I think that's all fair. But to say that we are a better team, if this is the plan to go win a Super Bowl this year, is a rookie wide receiver, I tend to agree with Joe that is just a huge gamble, and you're putting it all on Josh Allen. And I got to be reminded, this is the same GM that was all in on a guy like Antonio Brown. He can't be satisfied with going into the season with this wide receiver group. There has to be another move. I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to do, but I am by no means satisfied. I do not think that we are an offense you know, that can go deep, that can go into Kansas City and beat these guys. I'm going to have to listen. Hit them straight, boys.
Thanks, Mark. Can he be satisfied? He could be unsatisfied, but just accept that this is where he's at. The biggest X factor here is the Joe Brady offense, which, you know, if they're building the Joe Brady offense for whatever he wants,
yeah,
then that maybe this works. Maybe this is the perfect group for a Joe Brady offense. I don't disagree about the weapons. Yesterday, Matt Parrino was on with Bulldog, and they talked about Kincaid, like what kind of offense, what kind of target share Kincaid would get. You know, is Kincaid the new number one target in your offense? And Matt's answer was yes. I think it is. So we'll see. How, you know, the Chiefs have done this. Like, the Chiefs have had a tight end be their number one focal point in the offense.
Yeah.
And maybe that leads the Bills to where they need to be. Kincaid has certainly shown to be good enough to be worth that.
I would generally think, though, more times than not, if a tight end is your number one target, then you're wanting a lot more from your offense. You're wanting a lot more from your skill position group in general. Like, because Baltimore is sticking in my mind for that. Well, Andrews has been great, and they've had good offenses, but they've been running the ball a ton.
But go with Kansas City.
For years, you just don't have receivers.
Go with Kansas City. They've done it with the tight end for...
He's the best tight end ever, though.
That's right.
Andrews is great, and for them, was it enough?
No, because they ran the ball a lot. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. I've got a fun question about dynasty drafts to get to you. And Kevin Adams, Sabres GM, next hour as well. We'll chat. It's lottery night, 6:30 tonight, the Macklin Celebrini Lottery. Get hyped.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.